Welcome, everyone, who is joining the telebriefing today. We are expecting a few hundred people on the call today, so all lines are muted. A question and answer session will follow the remarks by the presenters. So if you have a question, please be prepared that you can email it to Jessica Young at cpcfoundation.com, or you can text it to Jessica to 757-869-8995. I will repeat that a few times throughout the call. After the remarks by the congressman, we will provide a time for questions and answers. As we are all joining the call, we're just going to take a few minutes as people are coming on board. I want to make you aware of a few things. The American Prayer Caucus Network has expanded to over 700 members, with nearly 100 members in the Congressional Prayer Caucus and over 600 members in about 30 state legislative prayer caucuses. Just in the last few months since the Lift America Religious Liberty Summit, hosted by CPCF, we added several new legislative prayer caucuses, including Nebraska Legislative Prayer Caucus, North and South Dakota, New Mexico, Texas, Delaware, Kansas, and Arkansas. Many state legislative prayer caucuses host statewide events at their capital. Most recently, Connecticut Legislative Prayer Caucus recently hosted a pastor's breakfast to increase the relationship between government leaders and pastors. It was a breakthrough event. We're expecting a large number on the call today. The lines are muted, and the question and answer session will follow the remarks by the presenters. If you are getting on this call and you are not muted, would you please mute your line? If you have a question, you will be able to email it to help at cpcfoundation.com or text it to Jessica at 757-869-8995. We're going to be starting in just a couple of moments. Thank you all for joining the call. I hear a lot of people jumping on the call. We're expecting several hundred on the call today, so we will be muting everybody's phones and ensuring that we're able to have a seamless call today. We will be talking about the Pray USA initiative, Government Leaders Calling the Nation to Prayer Movement. I'll be able to give you a little update on that in just a few moments. It now has over 1,000 government leaders, 140,000 citizens, and over 50 organizations supporting the call to unceasing prayer for America. Churches across America are inviting government leaders from the American Prayer Caucus Network into their churches to stand in the pulpit and sign the proclamation. In Florida last week, our Prayer Caucus Chairman, Representative Mike Hill, circulated the call to prayer proclamation during the National Day of Prayer and gained increased support for the Pray USA movement. I'll give you a little more information about this in just a few moments, but if you want to know more about the Pray USA movement, you can find out more at PrayUSA.com. We are, like I mentioned, expecting a large number on the call today. It sounds like we can hear some of the folks getting on the call today. We're working on making sure that all the lines are muted. But if you're on the call, please mute your phone, if you would, as you get on the call today so that we can hear clearly the presenters as they present.
Yeah,
we're going to be we're also going to be giving you an information about the In God We Trust Put It Up initiative, which the congressional members overwhelmingly passed, House Resolution 13. We'll be talking about the impact of that. The In God We Trust Put It Up campaign, now a nationwide movement of putting up In God We Trust displays across the nation. Dozens of organizations have or are planning to proactively promote In God We Trust this year to recognize the 60th anniversary of In God We Trust. Like I said, we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in just a few moments as soon as we start the call. I hear quite a few people getting on the call. Thank you for joining. Would you please be sure to mute your phone? Everybody mute your phone if you would. We're working on right now trying to ensure that everybody's phones are muted. But if you would be so kind as to mute it on your side, I'd really appreciate it. One of the elements of this initiative, In God We Trust, that we're going to be talking about is the way in which you all can get involved in this campaign as well. We're going to wait just a couple more minutes. We have we're expecting a few hundred people on the call today. So we have leaders, faith leaders, church leaders, leaders of organizations jumping on, as well as a lot of motivated citizens who will be joining us on the call today. And many of our partnering organizations, many of our government leaders, many of the citizens who have taken action with us in the past, we're extremely grateful for every one of you who is jumping on the call with us today. And if you would be so kind as to mute your phone, there will be a question and answer time later in the call, but for now we're going to be muting all the phones so that we can hear the members as they give their remarks. We have several congressmen joining us today. We're extremely grateful for the time that they're taking. And I think we're just about ready to start the telebriefing. Just give us another minute or so. We'll try to make sure that all the phones are muted so that we can hear clearly. Thank you all. So many people are jumping on. We expect several hundred people on the call today. Okay, terrific. All right, so we are just now confirming that all of our presenters are on the call, and we're working on making sure that they can all connect and that they are able to be present without being muted. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to today's Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation telebriefing. If you're just joining us, I am Leah Kirwin. I'm the president of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. We will be muting phones momentarily, but for now, if you are jumping on the call, please make sure that your phone is muted. Thanks to each of you who are taking your time to be on this call today. Many of you are working tirelessly on behalf of our nation. We're so grateful for all of your work. We want to say welcome to the members of the Congressional Legislative Prayer Caucuses. Welcome leaders of ministries, churches, faith-based organizations. Welcome motivated citizens. And I'd like to first begin by inviting Congressman Pinninger. Actually, I just got notice that I'm not sure if Congressman Pinninger is on the call yet. Congressman Pinninger, are you with us yet? All right. I'll tell you what we'll do then. I believe Congressman Holmgren is on the call with us. So, yeah. Congressman Holmgren. Okay, great. What I'm going to ask you to do then is, would you be willing, Congressman Holtman, to open us in prayer today?
Be happy to.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and amazed that we have the privilege of coming before you, creator of the universe, creator of everything that is, and yet you made a way for us to be in relationship with you through Jesus Christ, and we're just grateful for that. We're grateful that we can come to you and bring our praise and worship and honor to you, but also to be able to bring what concerns us, what weighs on our hearts, God. And there is much to be excited about, but also much to be concerned about, and we need you, God, to move in our nation, to move in our communities, to move in our churches, to move in our families once again, God. And I'm just grateful for the privilege to be able to serve and to join on this call with so many others who are serving you in the places where you've placed them. So, God, I just pray that you'll use these minutes that we have together to be an encouragement, but to also be a challenge to remember that all of us are commanded to be praying for our nation, to be praying for our leaders, to be praying for those who are in authority. And so, God, I just pray out of this call that you will bring encouragement to us and a reminder again of the great privilege we have, but also the important responsibility we have to be praying for our country. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it so much. Just wanted to again say that we're expecting nearly 300 leaders, pastors, motivated citizens on the call today, so we are putting the calls in listen-only mode, but if by some chance you're not, maybe you could even be a safeguard and put your phone in mute. Question and answer session will follow the remarks by the presenters. And if you have questions, please email them to help@cpcfoundation.com, or you can text to Jessica at 757 757- 869-8995. That's help at cpcfoundation.com or text to Jessica, 757-869-8995. So today we have on the call two current members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, Congressman Randy Holcren from Illinois, who just opened us in prayer. Thank you, Congressman. And Congressman Robert Pittenger from North Carolina will be joining us, and they will be giving remarks in just a few moments. Both of these men are warriors in the battle to reset America on the right track. You will hear from them, and then they will be available for the Q&A time at the end. Congressman Wahlberg regretted at the last minute he had a conflict and had to reschedule for a future telebriefing, which we are happy to do. Also, Congressman Randy Forbes, who has hosted the last two telebriefings, is a chief advisor to the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. He was planning to be on the call today, but due to his duties in Congress, he was called away at the last minute. He has been very active in military strategies, and we're grateful for all the work that he does in the faith movement and ensuring God's place in America. We are also pleased to have on the call today a former member of the Congressional Prayer Caucus and our honorary Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation chairman, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. In addition to being a friend and champion of the CPCF, Colonel West is the CEO for the national at the Center for Policy Analysis, which was founded to develop private free market alternatives to reforming everything from healthcare to pensions to education. Extremely grateful for these men who are great leaders who are on the call with us today. But before they give their remarks, I want to just give you a little insight for many of you, for you that are joining us for the first time, who are not familiar maybe with the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation and the caucus. Just give you a little bit of a background of our mission and some of our activities, just for about 5 minutes or so, and then we'll move right into the remarks by our congressman. The foundation, the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, is our mission is to unite and support national and local government leaders who are working with citizens like you and are spearheading an uncompromising battle for America through prayer and action. We're working together by going on the offense to protect our God-given religious freedom and advocate for biblical principles of morality, basically repelling the forces that want to silence people of faith and uproot God from our culture. So the Congressional Prayer Caucus is a separate organization. It's a bipartisan, bicameral, both houses, official U.S. House caucus with nearly 100 members of Congress who are committed to proactive strategies to combat efforts to sanitize faith from the public square, and they are active in protecting religious freedom. The government leaders from the Congressional Prayer Caucus are some of our strongest and most effective voices in protecting religious freedom and guiding America's future. For example, and I hope this gives you hope, I'm going to punctuate some of our mission with a few examples throughout over the next couple of minutes. Just hopefully this will give you hope and encourage you in some of the efforts that they're doing and also the efforts that many of you are doing. Just last week, Senator Lankford and Representative Forbes led 31 members of the House in an inquiry directed at Secretary McDonald at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs about the removal of Bibles from clinics in Ohio and Texas and the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. They are committed to ensuring that the complaints from the atheist groups like the Military Religious Freedom Foundation don't succeed in scrubbing the military of Bibles, faith, and prayer, which is essential, an essential freedom in our military. These leaders have rolled back efforts to remove religious references from our nation's public buildings and memorials. They're taking a stand with those who are being targeted by anti-faith activists. They're working to protect the right to pray, protecting the conscious right of individuals, military, business owners, healthcare providers. They're spearheading specific unifying initiatives to engage the public and replace current anti-God rhetoric. Due to the impact they were having at the federal level, they inspired the creation of the American Prayer Caucus Network, which is now, in just a very few short years, has grown to a membership of over 600 government leaders in 31 state legislative prayer caucuses, and they too are uniting at the state level and working together to increase prayer and action related to religious freedom. So, for example, just in the past few weeks, the Ohio Prayer Caucus members, legislative prayer caucus members, were key in passing student religious expression bill that now protects students from being penalized for their faith. In Texas, our Texas Prayer Caucus legislators led the charge in writing an open letter to the businesses. Many of you are familiar and saw the pressure that the Georgia lawmakers who passed the Religious Liberty Bill recently, the pressure that they received from these businesses. And over 120 members of the American Prayer Caucus Network from 15 states signed the joint letter providing much-needed support for the actions of these Georgia legislators. And this letter was not only sent to the Georgia lawmakers and governor, but also all these businesses, indicating to them that these leaders, these legislators, were doing the right thing and we needed to support them in their efforts. And then at the first Lift America Religious Liberty Summit, where our government leaders who are part of this network came together to discuss strategies in their very first summit, their first unified action that they took was to launch Pray USA. Many of you have been involved in the Pray USA initiative. I thank you for your participation. It now has over 1,000 government leaders, 140,000 citizens, and over 50 organizations supporting a call to prayer for America, this unceasing call to prayer. As part of this effort, these lawmakers are going into church services across the nation. They're standing side by side with pastors holding Pray USA spotlights, effectively breaking the back of the lie and the false narrative of separation of church and state, that somehow government leaders check their faith at the door or pastors have to check their civic responsibility at the door. They're inviting the church, the government leaders are inviting the church to sign the proclamation, pray for America, and this is just increased unified effort of prayer and action. So encourage your church to participate. Just go to prayusa.com and you'll find out more. And I just want to mention one more thing before I pass it off to Colonel Alan West, who will begin his remarks in just a moment. These lawmakers have introduced legislation to affirm the more than 200-year foundation of faith in America, including in the Congress the overwhelming passage of 396-9 vote to reaffirm our national motto, In God We Trust. If anybody knows how difficult it is to get such an overwhelming passage of anything these days, that was a remarkable statement. It was strategic, too. They also encouraged the public display of our national motto in schools and government buildings. It was strategic so that we could use this as a platform to advance God's place without fear. This became the catalyst for the current nationwide In God We Trust Put It Up initiative, with citizens actively involved in displaying our national motto in classrooms, government and offices, businesses, cars. And this is a rallying cry. This is a powerful four words. This is not just a statement that we pass over. We're taking a stand for God's enduring place in our nation. It's a simple win. It's something all of us can do together. These sent a powerful message about God's place. And this year, to recognize the 60th anniversary of In God We Trust being signed into law as our national motto by President Eisenhower on July 30th, 1956, we're making a 90-day push between now and July 30th. So, for example, in support, the Oklahoma legislator passed a resolution through the House and Senate to acknowledge our national motto, In God We Trust, and encouraged its display all throughout Oklahoma. The Maine Senate did likewise, and in fact, it passed the Senate unanimously and without debate. Again, another remarkable, strong statement in support of our need as a nation to remember our Judeo-Christian heritage. The cornerstone of this 60th anniversary initiative is something that everyone on this call can get involved with, no matter where you live, what you do. It's the Million Window Campaign, In God We Trust decals going up on millions of windows across the nation. And we started with a million windows as our goal, but we will surpass that soon with over 850,000 of these million window decals already sold and distributed up on windows across this nation. We're going past that. We're going to 3 million windows. And we already have a number of partnering organizations who are planning to proactively promote In God We Trust to their members. We've been joined by American Legion, American Family Association, Family Research Council, Wall Builders, United in Purpose, Intercessors for America, Eagle Forum, and many, many more. Thank you, every one of you, who is a part of this initiative. You have made it successful. It is making an impact. This is the simplest initiative we've ever done. Some of our partners have found the same thing. We will give you the collateral assets, all you need to participate. We do all the work, handle orders, provide customer service. If you want to partner with us, just email Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, at cpcfoundation.com. We'll get you all set up. Then, on July 30th, we will be doing a massive nationwide blitz, inviting churches, businesses to put our motto on their marquees, post social platforms. And if you live in Maine, your Prayer Caucus legislators are hosting In God We Trust events in 16 districts on July 30th. This is being catalyzed. This is something that they are spearheading to commemorate this day. Please join them. Stand with them. I hope you'll join us in this powerful movement. Everybody can get involved. Go to ingodwetrust.com. Find out how you can get involved. These are just a few of the ways in which we're uniting, and I hope this encourages you. I hope that you see that there's a lot that God is doing in a lot of ways through a lot of people. All we hear is the negative. Sometimes we wonder if there's anything positive happening, and I want you to know there really is. So keep up the great work. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Colonel Alan West, who has been a champion for religious freedom for years. Colonel West, would you share with us?
Thanks so much, Leah. It's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you to all of the people that are on this conference call, and especially to my dear former colleagues that are here on Capitol Hill. I happen to be here on Capitol Hill this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I think that we must also come to the realization is that we have to pray up those leaders that we have in our state houses and our national political bases, that they can be steadfast and loyal, that they can be strong and of good courage so that they can continue to protect our first liberty, which is our freedom of religion and the free exercise thereof. You know, I'd just like to, you know, piggyback on some of the things that Leah has talked about. You know, the LIFT Summit, which was very encouraging and very enlightening, and I would admonish you all that if you can get a video of it or any type of DVD of the LIFT Summit, please do that. Contact Leah, see if she has that. And the next LIFT Summit coming up, please, we would love to double the attendance that we had in beautiful Yorktown, Virginia this last time. But I can tell you that as a Christian right now, I feel that, you know, if not now, when? If not, you know, me, then who? And I think that each and every one of us have to have that type of resolve and drive and determination. When you look at organizations such as the Freedom From Religion Foundation out of Madison, Wisconsin, or the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, headed up by a gentleman by the name Mickey Weinstein, you must come to understand that we are on a battlefield, and even if you have never served, you're part of God's army, and you're a soldier in that army. And you need to realize that we fight against those, something that's spiritual. We fight against those principalities. We fight against a secular humanist agenda and ideology that really wants to take away, you know, our Creator from the open public space. And if we deny the fact that we have a Creator that exists and that is part of our Judeo-Christian faith heritage, then simply the inalienable rights that Thomas Jefferson talked about, those being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then if they don't come from the Creator, who do they come from? And then who can take them away? And that is the critical aspect of what we see happening now going forward in the United States of America. You know, when I read reports about, you know, a Marine corporal who had Bible verses that were torn down from her workspace, or a chaplain that is being persecuted because he, in his counseling, he was talking about what Christ had done in his life and some of the dark spaces that he's been in as he was talking to some of our young soldiers that are looking for, you know, some help. And to hear that, you know, a chaplain is being reprimanded for speaking of his faith, for speaking of Jesus Christ, when we have some of our chaplains that are not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. You know, you just have to ask yourself what is happening in our military, but what is happening in our public space, you know, even more so. So I think that now is an important time that we come together, that we galvanize, using the power of prayer and using, you know, the fundamental principles and values, the fundamental documents of this great nation, the vision and foresight of our founding fathers to restore the Judeo-Christian faith heritage of this nation. And that does not mean that we are quote-unquote haters, that we don't respect and regard other faiths, beliefs. But what it does mean is that we cannot continue to be pushed aside. And I want to remind you of, in 2012, something that really hurt me to the core, and I always like to bring this up because I think it's important. that when you had some 30 to 35 million Christians that decided not to vote in the November 2012 election, 7 to 8 million were registered that didn't vote. The other ones didn't even register. That had an incredible effect at the ballot box. And if the Christian community, those who are called by, you know, his name, had come out and participated in this electoral process, respecting righteous government and righteous authority and being able to clearly define what that is, you know, guess what? You know, maybe there would not be Christians that are being beheaded, crucified, or persecuted, young Christian girls that are being sold into slavery and raped. We would not have, you know, one of the great cities in the Middle East, Mosul, Iraq, for the first time in some 2,000 years. There's not a single Christian that is there. So I think that we have to realize that the title that we carry, the beloved blessing that we have in being called a Christian, that we have accepted God's grace and mercy into our heart, that comes with a responsibility. And that is what Lydia Carawan and the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is all about, that responsibility that we have. And when you look at the campaign of In God We Trust, something so simple as having that little sticker on your car or on the window of your house or in the window of your office, it goes a long way, because maybe it will just cause someone to read those simple four words and our national motto and ask themselves, you know, truly, is this a nation that In God We Do Trust? And we're coming up on that 60th anniversary. And I think that there is a great spiritual awakening that can happen. But we have to be that salt. We have to be that light. We have to be the enablers for that to occur. And so I will just continue to pray your strength. I will continue to pray your courage, as Solomon asked of the Lord, your wisdom and discernment, so that you can go out and be successful on this spiritual battlefield upon which we are walking today in the United States of America. Because I don't want to see us, for whatever reason, forget that Judeo-Christian faith heritage, which has made America an incredibly blessed nation in these past 240 years. So I just want to, again, continue to sing the praises of Leah and her staff and all that they do, and I want to continue to do everything I can as a strong and formidable honorary chairman for this great organization. And Leah, with that being said, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Colonel West. I appreciate your remarks, and you have been a strong voice and a strong advocate for taking a stand in religious freedom, so thank you for all that you're doing. Now, just as a reminder, if you have questions, please email them to help@cpcfoundation.com or text it to Jessica at 757-869-8995. We want to make this interactive. We really do. Our congressman will stay on the line, and we'll be available for Q&A. So if you have questions, please send them over. And with that, Congressman Holmgren, I'd like to invite you to share your remarks.
Thanks, Leah, and thanks, Colonel West. Always so good to hear you, and it was great to be with you down near Williamsburg there a couple months ago. Loved that. My family and I had a wonderful time at the LIFT Summit. And so glad my friend and colleague, Congressman Robert Pittenger, is joining us as well. He is an amazing friend, mentor, someone that I enjoy so much learning and praying with here. So thank you for joining us on this call, everybody. This is so important, and I know you're all very busy. I know there's a lot going on, but I don't know if there's anything more important for us these days than this challenge that we are called to be faithful for such a time as this, and the challenges that we are facing are so real. The attack on all that we hold dear as far as religious freedom and the ability to have freedom of conscience, seeing just unprecedented attacks around the nation. Certainly see so much going on even right now from the administration against North Carolina, and want to hear Congressman Pittenger's thoughts on that as well. But it's a really difficult, challenging time. And quite honestly, it's a time where I can get frustrated. I can get discouraged. I can feel like the odds are stacked against us. And yet I'm reminded so often throughout Scripture of God's faithfulness. And when He is on our side, when God is on our side, we are victorious. We are a majority, and we have a confidence of knowing that that we will prevail. Won't always necessarily look the way that we want it to look, but we will prevail, and so grateful for that. I want to just a couple words quickly, just to encourage you on a couple things that I'm encouraged by. One of them is some of the things that are going on Capitol Hill right now, and a big part of it is Pray USA and the work that they're doing in the LIFT Summit. So grateful for that. But members of the House are also meeting each week with the Prayer Caucus, and Leah talked about that briefly. Randy Forbes is one of our co-chairmen of that. And we'll meet tonight when we have first votes at about 6:30 this evening. A group of us will meet literally directly across from the hallway from the votes to be praying for our nation, to be praying for our families, to be praying for our marriages, to be praying for God to heal our land, to bring a renewal back once again. So grateful to have over 100 members of the House of Representatives who are part of the Prayer Caucus. Then many Tuesday mornings when we're here on Monday night, Robert Pittenger and a group of other friends of ours get together for an in-depth Bible study that has just been so rich. There's also a Bible study on first night back, either Monday or Tuesday night. A group of members, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, meet. I'm a part of this dinner every Tuesday night to have a Bible study, but also to have accountability, to recognize that service is a great privilege, but it's also dangerous, that it can be tough on marriages and tough on families, and a failure, a lapse in judgment, a moral lapse could certainly destroy a career, but more importantly, can destroy a family. And we've seen that with other colleagues, and we've also seen it certainly in our churches, and we want to continue to pray for protection and strength. I know there's a group that meets every Wednesday morning for a Bible study here on Capitol Hill. Thursday morning, a group of us meet early to meet in the prayer chapel to be praying for our country, just in-depth time of prayer. And then many will meet for the prayer breakfast on Thursday morning. A House prayer breakfast is Thursday morning. The Senate prayer breakfast is Wednesday morning. I say all of this just to say that we are meeting, we are praying. There, I am encouraged by the number of believers who are serving in Congress right now. People who were not planning on serving in Congress, that this wasn't some master plan of ours that we have been strategizing to get here, but instead, in many different ways, can share a similar story of God's faithfulness leading us to this place right now to serve. And the encouragement that that we are here, that we're brought together, and as we see something I'm concerned about where it feels like the nation is moving away from God, I'm encouraged when I see literally dozens and dozens and dozens of members of the House of Representatives and the Senate who are very serious about being faithful in their walk, following Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and wanting to be faithful in this place, and wanting to know how that looks, and praying about that, working through that together, encouraging each other. It's something that I'm excited about, and I honestly believe God is up to something, that this is not coincidence, that this really large number of believers are here right now. Again, as Robert maybe will talk about in a couple minutes, I know he's served here in other capacities over the last decades, and he and I have both seen that, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, there weren't that many people who were really serious about being faithful in this role as believers. And now I'm just encouraged by the great number that are here. One of the things that has come about just in the last couple weeks even is an outreach that a group of us have had. There was maybe 5 or 10 of us that got together. We are pleased to have several people who are serving in Congress right now who were pastors, who served as pastors in churches. Jody Heiss from Georgia, Mark Walker from North Carolina, a few others who were pastors. Tim Wahlberg, who was going to be on the call but got called away from Michigan. And really realizing we need to do a better job of reaching out to our pastors to make sure you know what we're doing, what we're working on, that there are a good group of people up here who are serious about being faithful, but also that there is a strategy, even though it's frustrating and things don't happen as quickly as we want them to, we need to have a better ability to communicate with our pastors so that they can communicate to their congregations how to pray for your leaders, but also to see where we see opportunities. And again, Pray USA has been such an important part of that, of getting information out of opportunities for us to have an impact, to stand in the gap right now with all the challenges that we're facing. So we had, again, I think it was 30 or 40 or 50 pastors from around the country who came together to meet with Speaker Paul Ryan, but also to meet with other members of Congress, the House and the Senate, to hear very specifically what we're doing, but also to hear very specifically prayer requests of things that we need prayer for. So something I was encouraged about. I'll close my time and hand it back to Leah here, but just to again say, so grateful for the LIFT Summit. I've had the privilege of being a part of that the last 2 years, so loved being able to go to North Carolina a little over a year ago, and then just a couple months ago to be down in Virginia, and to have that time of learning, of challenging and encouraging each other, but also to see that the attacks we are facing, it's a concerted effort. It's a very well-funded effort, as Colonel West talked about. There is a group of people, some billionaires, who are putting money in to try and take faith out of America, take faith out of our schools, to take our religious heritage out of the textbooks that had always been part of our education, and yet we've seen that being scrubbed away, and we can't let it happen. They are well-funded, but we've got a great God who is on our side, and if we are faithful, if we are strong, if we are coming together and really praying to be able to speak the truth in love, I know God will be faithful. So I want to encourage you, as well as Colonel West did, to join with that if you can next year when we're getting together. We'd love to have you be a part of that. But anyway, we can be helpful, and I just say this of just asking for specific prayer for my colleagues up here. If you can be praying for us, pray for wisdom. These are difficult times with difficult decisions that need to be made. It's an election cycle that I did not expect, and yet we need to be faithful, and we need wisdom of knowing how to address the challenges around the world that we're facing, and we need God to help us with that. I'd also ask you to pray for protection, to have protection for our marriages, protection for our family, physical protection with challenges and threats that we face. So if you could pray for wisdom and protection, and finally, last but not least, for courage, that we would be willing to do what's right, even if the cost is high, even if it costs us an election, to do what is right, to do what God has called us to be faithful. So if you could be praying for me, for Robert, for Colonel West, for others who are serving or who have served, for wisdom, for protection, and for courage, I just believe that would be so impactful for us. So with that, I'll hand it back to Leah. Thank you so much for being on the call. Look forward to having a few minutes to answer questions later on as well.
Congressman Holcomb, thank you so much. I hope every person on this call was inspired and encouraged to hear what is happening at the Capitol. And two things I want to mention before I pass it over to Congressman Pittenger, and that is when people started hearing about the gathering, the prayer gathering in Room 219 that you have been meeting for the last probably decade or so, they started forming 219 prayer groups across this nation. And over the last decade, we have now formed 8,000 groups and individuals who have committed to Room 219 prayer. They have said, we know you're meeting, we will pray for you, members who are meeting in Room 219, and we will stand with you. Many of them formed their 219 prayer groups and praying at the same time that you guys would be praying on Monday or Tuesday nights. And so I just want to encourage you, if you want to add Room 219 prayer to your current prayer group or form a 219 prayer group to support these leaders, we send out a weekly prayer update every single week, giving you some of the insight into sort of insider prayer requests of what's happening across the nation, what our government leaders are battling, what they're fighting with. And you can just go to our website, cpcfoundation.com, sign up for the weekly prayer updates. We would be happy to pass that on so you'd be reminded to pray for these government leaders. And the second thing is, what he is describing, what Congressman Holkren is describing, is happening in state capitals also across the nation. When you hear that people, we cannot pray in the public square, that we cannot pray in business, that kids cannot pray in school, just remember, it is a lie. It is false. Our congressmen, our state legislators, they are praying. They are holding Bible studies in our public places across the nation. And there are committed believers, committed men and women of faith, committed people who are in the church who have been called to serve in our government sphere. Stand with them. Find out who they are at the state level, at the local level, at the congressional level. Pray for them. Walk with them. And if you want to come to our website, you can go to our website and you can go to a button that says find out what's happening in your state and pull that down and find out the legislative prayer caucuses. You can go to the Congressional Prayer Caucus and find the list of all the members. Pray for them. Stand with them. Thank you so much, Congressman Holkren, for sharing that. It's so helpful to know what God is doing in the hearts of men and women across this nation, and especially in government leadership, because we do not hear it. All we hear is the bad news, and of course, we should expect that. So thank you, and just a final reminder, question and answer time following, email to help@cpcfoundation.com or text to Jessica, 757-869-8995. Now, I would like to welcome Congressman Pittenger.
Hello, good afternoon, Leah and Dahl, who are gathered on this phone call. Thank you to my dear friend Randy Holkren for his remarks and for Colonel West for your steadfast voice and leadership in behalf of the cause of Christ. Randy Holkren mentioned labored in this vineyard for a while. I came here in 1975 with Dr. Bill Bright as his assistant. I carried his briefcase throughout these halls as he had a burden for Washington, D.C., and to start what he called the Christian Embassy. So I was a young man in my mid-20s, and at that time, I believe you could count the number of really solid believers on one hand. Much has happened since that time, and due clearly to the prayers and commitment of people who recognized what took place in Washington, D.C., affected all of our lives and affected the entire world. So, you know, we are here, frankly, clipping coupons from those who came before us, who worked and prayed and labored in these vineyards. And it is a blessing, incredible, to go to work every day knowing that you have colleagues that you work with arm in arm who are committed believers, strong believers in prayer. Randy and I are in several prayer groups together in Bible study, and there's a plethora of opportunities to be engaged with believers in the Word of God and in prayer. So that's a real blessing. Having said that, the issues of our country become graver, it seems, with each passing day and week and month. What we've seen in Charlotte, North Carolina, has just been beyond my imagination. We would be conceived that someone could go, a man could go into a woman's bathroom and or a locker room, let's take it beyond the bathroom, or in a locker room and be exposed. And as law enforcement has said to me several times, you know, we can't prosecute that person who claimed being transgender, even if it's a valid law. So here we are engaged in this. We would never have expected this a decade ago or probably a couple years ago. Would that ever have been on our mind? So, and it's beyond that. It's a further encroachment by this administration in serving edicts to the American people. This is a constitutional issue, Section 1 of the Constitution of, you know, the balanced separation of powers and the legislative authority given to the Congress. The president, frankly, has chosen to address legislation and engage it on his own accord. And this is something that our Congress and our conference, we will be presenting even before the conventions this summer, what we believe needs to be done to rein in and bring balance back as our founding fathers sought and as they directed the governance of this country and the different roles of the executive and the judicial and the legislative branches. And this, of course, started back in the time of ancient Greece and through the writings of Montesquieu and John Locke and others. Our foundation has always been through the separation of powers. And so this is the larger picture that we face here. But the cultural aspects of our country are being deteriorated as each day goes by. The foundations of our country seem to be dissolving. And I believe, as I really consider what's happened here the last 40 years that I've been in this vineyard, is with all the burden and prayer for Washington, D.C., my prayer goes back to what's taking place in our communities. Because in great measure, Washington is a reflection of the rest of the country. And I believe that if there's any hope and prayer that I have now, it's the challenge of the Great Commission. It's the challenge that we have to take Christ to Judea and Samaria. I mean, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. You know, that was the last calling that our Savior gave us before he left here. And it seems to be, some have said, the great omission. My good friend E.V. Hill, a wonderful pastor from South Central Los Angeles, had a commission to take Christ door by door, block by block, house by house. He would turn all the isms into wasms, alcoholism and socialism and liberalism and whatever you'd call it, by the name of Christ. And I think my burden is that the church will be more fully engaged in the proclamation of the gospel through the personal witness of its members, that the leadership of the church would equip the laity, that would equip the church to do the work of the ministry and to bring Christ in a clear way to every person in our country. And I think if we have that as our assignment, you know, if Coca-Cola can sell Cokes to everybody in the country and GM can sell cars or whoever, we have to be thinking in a way that how we take Christ to every person in our country. And if we are right as a country vertically, then all these other issues horizontally will take care of themselves. And I do really feel in all my heart that what we're dealing with today is a tragic misapplication of the stewardship of responsibilities that God has given us in his word to share Christ. And that makes my role and my platform as a member of Congress even more important as a minister of reconciliation, as someone whose role it is primarily to be a messenger of Christ. Yes, my role is to be placed in government to make laws on behalf of the people, but in the role that I have to help point people to the God of our hope through his Son. So that's really my message for today, my burden for this country. And yes, we do need greater prayer and focus on Washington, D.C., but we also need to recognize that Washington, D.C. is truly a reflection of America. And America, and the responsibility of all of us as Christians, by God, is to take that message of his truth to every person that he brings us in contact with. So thank you so much for being involved and for your support and your role and what you do back in your community.
Thank you so much, Congressman Pittenger. Thank you for those important encouragement and words that you shared. It's so core, at the very core of all that we're doing. I do want to open it up now. We've had some folks that have sent in some questions, and so I want to make sure that we get to those. We will, because of the large number, we'll have to keep the lines muted, and I'll just read some of the questions that are being sent in. One of the questions is twofold. What can we do practically to make a difference in our states? And then secondarily, how realistic is it that pastors could be jailed for their sermons or Christians persecuted for their faith. I've combined a multitude of questions that brought them together to this question. But could one of you speak to that, please?
Well, I'll go ahead and go. This is Alan West, and, you know, let me answer the latter first, because I think the most important thing is to, we should go out there, you know, in faith. When you talk about if God be for us, who can stand against us? When you think about Isaiah 54:17, when it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn, but that is the heritage of those who love the Lord. We've got to make a stand, and we have to do it courageously. We cannot continue to be pushed back and pushed around, because this is where we have to stand in the gap. And I think that's the most important thing. I believe that there are more of us than there are of them, and we need to take that message out there that the first liberty, the first freedom, which is that freedom of religion and the free exercise thereof, is under attack. And when you have people that are redefining what it means to have freedom of religion, and they're trying to restrain it to the freedom of where you can worship, that is not what this is about. When I sat down and met with the CEO of Hobby Lobby, Steve Green, you know, the first thing I said to him was thank you. Thank you for taking a stand, because he didn't have to do that as a businessman. I think when you look at Governor McCrory of North Carolina, we need to just send him emails, and we need to say thank you. Just the same as when they launched all the attacks against Chick-fil-A, how did we respond? We went out there with courage and boldness. So I think that's the most important thing. And so, you know, we have, you know, book reading clubs and all of this. I think we need to start to have these issue clubs that deal with religious freedom, and we need to start meeting in our homes. We need to start having the meetings in our churches and talk about these critical issues, and we should not be afraid of anyone trying to bring persecution, because if we lock our shields, like the old Greeks and the Spartans used to fight in ancient times, then we have a formidable front. And as well, I go back to saying, if God be for us, who could be against us?
Let me jump in real quick.
This
is Randy Hultgren. And just to echo, absolutely agree with Colonel West, and would just also say, kind of piggybacking on what Robert Pittenger said as well, you know, we need to push back on when certain branches get out of control. And I think that's where we're seeing with the judicial branch, where one person, not elected, appointed, is really determining law of the land. That was never the intent. Judges are to follow the laws that the legislature's passed, and yet we've seen this flipped upside down. And so there has to be an accountability there. We need to educate those around us of that the Constitution is very clear of limitations of power, and that laws can only be written by the legislative branch, not by the executive, not by the president, and certainly not by the judiciary. And yet we've seen this flipped up on its head, and we've got to push back against that.
Excellent. And that actually was one of the questions that came through, is there a way, do you have any specifics of how the individual citizen can push back against the judicial overreach that's happening, the judicial tyranny that they're facing? Many of them are getting lawsuits and sued. How do we push back the judicial tyranny specifically? Can you give us any other specific ideas?
Well, let me jump in quick, and then I want to hear from these other guys as well. This is Randy Hultgren again. I think the one we've talked about clearly is praying, and we don't want to underestimate that. That is so important. But I think it is educating, you know, letting people know that what is going on, and as Colonel West said, for us to come together, to lock arms, to not be afraid. I think so much of the power of these efforts are when we feel like we're powerless, you know, when we feel like we're alone out there or we're the ones who are causing this, when reality is this is a concerted effort, they're doing it in a very unaccountable way by having judges who are oftentimes appointed for life or maybe they have a retention every 10 or 15, 20 years. We need to talk about, you know, should it continue that way? We also need to be very aware when judges are doing this, when we have the opportunity, if there's retention vote or something like that, we better be out there talking about that. When someone has overstepped what the Constitution says, when they've overstepped what their limits are as a judge, we need to be engaged to say this can't stand. This person can no longer stay in office. If there's an opportunity for us to have, to get them off by voting, or, you know, if there's a retention that they could lose, a lot of times I think it's that where they need maybe 50 or 60% of the vote to be retained, we need to be out there to make sure that these judges who are trying to affect the direction of our nation and not enforce the laws that legislatures have passed, we need to be aware of that, and we need to be a strong voice against that abuse that's happening.
I piggyback on that, this Robert Pittenger. The many people in administrations of public schools and even private schools feel as though that they can't use their facilities. I was with one of a university last week in North Carolina, and I think when individuals are being challenged about their right of expression on public domains, they ought to call our prayer caucus. We can help direct them and show them the legal support that they can have, because there's a lot of intimidation, total intimidation, threats that the left does on a continual basis to try to confuse and distract Christians from being able to pursue their legal rights. So I would encourage you that there are significant legal stands that we have to proclaim the gospel in the public square, that they need to know what those positions are.
Excellent. Thank you. And also, I think it was also mentioned here, too, and I can't overemphasize the importance of standing with the victims, the folks that are the focus of the attacks, the bullying, the lawsuits being put against them. If we will stand with those that find themselves in the crosshairs and we will rally around them, many times Liberty Institute, our First Liberty, talks constantly about the fact that they usually win. They win most of their cases. They win when we show up. When there is a concerted, a wholesale support behind these folks that are in the crosshairs, we find that they actually have a greater opportunity to win. So when you hear that that's happening, when you find out, make sure that you're one of the ones that's standing with them, encouraging them, supporting them in any way you possibly can. I think that would make a big difference in encouraging and discouraging the attacks on Christians who are being persecuted, really for just their faith. They're having to choose between their faith and their livelihood. Thank you so much. And then this is a complimentary question that came in as well, which is something that North Carolina, Georgia, all of you have felt very vividly recently, which is what's the most effective way to push back against the big businesses that are bullying government officials? That has created a chilling effect from Indiana to Georgia to North Carolina. I mean, the list goes on of these businesses that are now getting involved. Do any of you have anything to add to help us do a better job of pushing back against the businesses?
You know, reason prevails in so many cases. I was in New York yesterday with Rudy Giuliani and a bunch of business leaders up there. And these were some very major players. And frankly, there was some comment about Governor McCrory's statement on Fox News. It really was a well-thought-through presentation he made. And, you know, there's a reasonable account. The left, with the support of the media, has hyped these things up and take them out of context, or really haven't brought them into full context. You know, when you talk about bathrooms, you're talking about locker rooms. And thoughtful analysis, thoughtful discussion. When I sit down with CEOs, and I have found so many of them understanding of the problem. I think what you have is a very left direction from the agencies that represent the President of the United States, particularly the Attorney General's office at this point, but also the Department of Education has now gotten involved, and the Department of Transportation is getting involved and threatening withholding money. And it's all a political charade, yet a serious one. And but thoughtful people understand the issues. I think the real concern is it's not so much corporate America. Yes, it is. I've addressed PayPal. I called them out for being hypocrites. Here's a business that operates in 25 countries that is forbidden. Homosexuality is in 5 of those countries. The penalty is death. And their international headquarters is Singapore. So, and I work with this company a great deal on terrorism financing issues. So, but we're in discussion, and we have talked, and I have them in discussion with another very highly respected individual who was a former governor in North Carolina, trying to bring some reason into this discussion. It got all hyped up real quick. It just blew up. And so reason needs to prevail, because tragically, there are homes, there are families that need jobs, and a lot of people being hurt in this process, all because of a mission driven by certain individuals, and they want to pick this fight. It's a distraction on other issues, and they're able to sidetrack and get off on this. And that's why I'm proud of the governor. I'm proud of the legislature for the way that they've handled it in North Carolina.
This is Randy Hultgren. I'll jump in real quick, too, because I do think it's a very small, vocal minority who is pushing these extreme views, and it really drives me crazy that some of these corporations are responding to that and catering to that. And we need to make sure that our voice is heard as well. If we're disappointed or frustrated in what they're doing, I think we need to call them and tell them. I know there's sometimes efforts to not purchase products, you know, at certain stores or from certain companies, and we need to be open to that, of recognizing that ultimately that impacts the decisions that these corporations are going to make. Of if they feel like there's no downside for them doing this, but then they can kind of cater to this small group, they'll keep doing it. But when they see by you know, coming in and thinking they're throwing their weight around, ultimately has an impact on their ability to do business. Well, hopefully that'll affect them. You know, so I think it's prayerfully thinking about ways that that we can make sure that they know our displeasure when they're doing this. It's making phone calls, it's maybe letters to the editor, it's you know, congregations coming together to share you know, in a commitment to send a clear message to these big corporations that we disagree and we disapprove of what they're doing. And I think Robert's absolutely right. The hypocrisy is unbelievable, you know, where they're growing their businesses in these countries that are killing homosexuals, that are unbelievable, horrible torture and abuse to women in some of these cultures, and yet these same companies aren't saying a word about that. So yeah, I think somehow we need to hold them accountable as well.
Excellent. Thank you. We're definitely hearing a theme here. Our time is wrapping up, but we're hearing a theme here that if we will take a stand, if we will unite, if we will not sit back, if we will not give in to really the rhetoric of those who would try to remove God, that would try to tell us you have no voice, you cannot do anything about this, this is inevitable, we're going to have our way. If we will reject that and stand strong and commit ourselves to the principles and the values that we see and that we know we believe in the Bible, that our country's founded on, we will, we can, we still can see God do miracles. And ultimately, we pray and we take action as the Lord leads us. So thank you so much, Colonel West, Congressman Hultgren, Congressman Pittenger. Your words are inspiring. I hope everybody on here has been encouraged and strengthened. Many of the people on this call are doing things. They're looking for more ways to engage. I hope this gave you ideas and strategies for which you can take action and what really can make a difference. And we're asking three things from you. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our church leaders, our pastors, the folks that are leading the church as well, that they will be have courage, that they will be protected, and that they will really be led by the Spirit. If you think we're right and we have some ideas and some ways in which you can participate, join us in the Pray USA movement and the In God We Trust Put It Up campaign, 60th anniversary. These are just a couple of ways. You might also be doing things. We would love for you to participate. We are just grateful that we're all in this together. And so now I'm going to wrap up our call. I'm so grateful for every single person, every one of you that was on the call today. I'm going to ask Congressman Pittenger if you would close us in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we bow before you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, you said that the nations are but a drop in the bucket to you. And Lord, we just thank you that we serve a risen master, one to whom we can come to and know that we can come to the throne of grace to obtain help in a time of need, that we have access to that throne through the blood of the Lamb. Now, Lord, we do pray now for our country. We pray for the restoration of this country. We pray for the undergirding of this country by your Holy Spirit will do a work in all of our hearts. Each of us who are believers, that we would be equipped to do every good work, and that you would live your life and your love through us. You would speak through us. And Lord, give us a burden. Give us a conviction to share you with that person next to us. Help every Christian, help every pastor in this country realize that our ultimate, the ultimate need in this country is for people to know Christ. And when they know Christ, these other issues are going to get resolved. I just pray, dear God, you give clarity of mission and direction in that, and that all the other matters we're taking care of will ultimately find resolution. So we trust you, God. We know that you spoke and the worlds were framed. You called everything into existence. You are the author of your own effect. And Lord, we know that we wait upon you. You said to be still and to know that you're God. That doesn't mean that we take no action. You told us to be still, to be at peace in you, to rest in you, to know that we can wait upon you and that you will act. For you said that you'd do far more than we could ever ask or think or hope or dream. So we pray that, God, that you would restore this country and use us in any way you choose. Thank you for the prayer caucus, for Leah, for Randy Forbes, and so many who put their heart and souls in this every moment of their life. And we thank you for those who have listened today, and we pray that you undergird them and equip them and nurture them and minister them in every way, that we would sing praises to your name for what you will do through our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you all for your participation, and this concludes today's conference call. God bless you.